Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, August 13th, 2007, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, Dr. Dick, that's me. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You will find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. You know, so many in my audience have questions about sexual performance. Hey doc, what's the best sexual position for butt fucking? How do you give a really great blowjob? And the like. And now, you don't have to wait for me to respond to your query. Mosey on over to Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library and let the expert show you a little thing or two. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, enriching, and informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? I have a really pervy show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a free, no pressure, voicemail kind of setup, don't you know? No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my precious. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Today's first correspondent is Susie, 25, from Indianapolis. She writes, "My husband and I are beginning to experiment with some light bondage and discipline. We'd like to know more about this and how to play safely. Unfortunately, because of his job, we are stuck here in Indianapolis for another whole year. We have yet to find even one other person around here who shares our kink. So we don't have anyone to ask about this." Ah, the joys of the heartland. I'd be willing to guess that there are other kinky pervs like you guys right there in Indianapolis, but they don't know how to find you any more than you guys know how to find them. Kind of sad, huh? Well, probably y'all gonna need to turn to them internets for the kind of help you're looking for. Kink and BDSM sites abound. Most of them have great how-to and helpful tips sections geared to the budding kinkster. Several of these sites also feature profiles, chat rooms, and bulletin boards for like-minded folks to connect and play. But since you're here, darling, I do have some preliminary thoughts to share. First, every scene should be negotiated before play begins. Never bypass this important step, even if the two of you are only play with one another. You see, what you don't want to have happen is to break the mood mid-scene to ask a question or seek direction. All this should be taken care of before the start of the scene. Get used to working out those logistics ahead of time. These important negotiation scenes will also force you to communicate with one another and give you a ready vocabulary for talking with other prospective partners should the opportunity ever arise. Negotiating a BDSM scene is not, you know what, I'll do this for you if you do that for me sort of deal, like in vanilla sex. Rather, it's an honest discussion about you and your partner's wants, needs, expectations, fantasies, whatever, for the scene itself. Regardless, if you are the dominant top or the submissive bottom, you must be equal partners when negotiating each and every scene. If you do this sort of play a lot, the negotiations may become perfunctory. But, like I said, they ought never be skipped. The nature of these negotiations is to set parameters, ascertain boundaries, and establish limits. For example, the intensity and duration of a scene. You may find that you need to set a time limit for your play, or discuss the type of restraints and means of discipline you are about to use. Debriefing after the scene is also a really good idea. You'll, of course, need to establish safe words for your play, and if you don't know what those are, you'd better stick to vanilla. The more experienced you are, the more likely you will develop a shorthand for negotiating your play. However, the less experienced you are, the more important it will be to spell out absolutely everything. Your negotiations ought to be frank and open discussions, no holds barred. Remember, you are not in the scene yet, so no one, dom or sub, has more input than the other. Speak and question one another freely. The first question the dom needs to ask the sub is, what are your limits? Be specific, direct, and pointed when you ask about one's limits. The novice sub may not know his or her limits, so the dom will have to proceed with the utmost caution. This is where the safe words will most likely come into play. The sub ought to have unqualified trust in the dom. Without this trust, the scene isn't play, it's abuse. Remember, there is never room for coercion in the negotiations. Save the guilt tripping, shame inducement, and intimidation for the scene itself. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Thanks for asking. Next, we hear from Ramesh, 19, from the UK. I'm nervous about having sex. I've been masturbating since I was 11, but I can't work up the courage to try it with anyone else. I don't even know if I'm gay or straight. How do I get over being so nervous? Holy cow, that is nervous. Not knowing if you're gay or straight? Yikes. Listen, I suggest that you begin by taking stock of yourself. Physically, emotionally, sexually. I'm going to ask you some questions, and you can take all the time you need to ponder your answers. Here's a tip. Write these questions down. And if you have difficulty answering any of them, ask a buddy for his or her input. First, what's your best physical asset? Do you think of yourself as attractive in a sexual sort of way? If not, what could you do to spruce things up a little? Listen, the more comfortable you are in your own skin, the more confident you will be in connecting with others for sex or relationships. If you know yourself well enough to know your best assets, you will be able to put those best things forward, right? What do you find sexually attractive about others, both women and men? Chances are, if you haven't already discovered if you are straight or gay, you might very well be bi. When you masturbate, what goes through your head? What are your sexual fantasies? Do you fantasize about sexual situations with others? Anything in particular? Anyone in particular? When you say you're nervous about sex, does that have to do with possible rejection? Or is it more to do with performance? You know, not knowing what to do should the situation arise, so to speak. Is there anyone you feel safe enough with, a pal perhaps, you could talk this over with? If you feel emotionally safe or safe from potential shame and humiliation with this person, it might be easier to open up to him or her. Just remember, everyone's been where you are at least at one point in his or her life. Are you comfortable being nude? At least by yourself? Lots of people aren't. Are you able to admire yourself in the mirror without comparing yourself to unrealistic expectations about the human body that come to us from the popular culture? If you are not comfortable with being naked, think about the reasons why you're not. Again, if it's body image issues, maybe you need to get into better shape. Or just let go of your idealized notions about physical attractiveness. Do you know about contraception and sexually transmitted infections? If you don't, you're not ready to have sex with anyone yet. Do your homework. Know what you need to ask a prospective partner in terms of contraception and STIs before the encounter. Okay, so you're familiar with pleasuring yourself. That's good. Would you know how to pleasure a partner? If you're not sure, I suggest that you do some research. There are all kinds of instructional videos out there. In fact, you will find just about everything that you're looking for at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. This week's program sponsor, by the way. You will find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. One thing to remember, the best sex is a mutually satisfying experience. You and your potential partners are different people, with different desires, different interests, personality makeups, and fantasies. And despite everything you might learn from an instructional video, there is no substitute for asking your partner what he or she likes. You'll need to be able to respond in kind, too. Being able to communicate your needs and desires is absolutely essential for a happy, fun-filled fuck. Are you a good kisser? Do you know how to touch someone else without it being an invitation to sex? Do you know how to be affectionate, to be close and playful with someone else simply for the joy of it? I always suggest to my young clients that they learn how to give a good back rub or a foot massage. Non-seductive touching is as important as knowing how to touch someone sexually. It's also how some of the best sex play begins. Are you making yourself available for a sexual encounter? Nowadays, the opportunities for connecting with others for companionship and/or sex abound. You don't have to be aggressive in your pursuit, but it ain't gonna fall in your lap either. What would it take for you to feel comfortable initiating sex? This, of course, is the follow-up step to putting yourself out there. I realize that this can be a bit intimidating, but you're going to have to push through this, pup. Think about why initiating sex or accepting an invitation to be sexual is so difficult for you. Are you able to be a good friend? The best sex is more than bumping parts. It's a full human-to-human connection. If you know how to be a good friend, you're more than halfway there to being a really good lover. There are all kinds of sexual expression, romantic to the passionate, even spiritual. Sex can be cuddly and romantic, or it can be hot monkey love. It can be tender as well as intense. You ought to be able to have the ability to direct that flow, or at least go with it. Do you have an adventuresome side to you? Do you like a challenge? Are you comfortable experimenting with one thing or another? If you are, you will find these are all valuable assets in making sex happen for you. There are still a whole lot of sex-negative messages out there in our society, so you'll need to be strong enough to stand against these repressive currents and pursue your heart's desire. In the end, a good sex life takes effort. It takes knowledge, practice, and relationship skills. a degree of personal openness and a sense of fun and adventure are also very helpful. Learning more about yourself and what makes you tick will give you an advantage when the time is ready for you to partner up for sex. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Moving right along, we hear from Fran, 33, from South Africa. I have a new lover, 10 years my junior. We met at a play party about 3 weeks ago. He is very adventuresome and totally submissive. He told me he wants me to shave him from head to toe, and he wants me to do this while he is restrained and gagged. I'm pretty confident about my bondage skills, but I've never shaved anyone. Do you have any tips? Gosh, some girls have all the luck. You got yourself some young, submissive puppy? Good for you. This shaving scene could be a real Samson and Delilah kind of setup. Hopefully of biblical proportions. How hot is that? The overall body shave can be a bit tricky, especially for those sensitive areas of the body not used to being shaved. You can pretty much count on some nicks and cuts, and there will be a fair amount of post-shave skin irritation, too. It's just part of the course. Of course, you can minimize a lot of this by attending to some fundamentals. Most of us men have discovered that shaving our face later in the day, or better, at night, will make shaving easier. The same is true for fetish shaving. Nighttime is the best time. Work in a clean, well-lit space. The dark and dungeon is good for after-shave play, but you'll need a lot of light for the shave itself. You'll also need ready access to a lot of hot, clean water. So why not strap that boy to the bathroom sink or shower head, or better yet, the kitchen table? If the pup resembles the missing link, you'll want to start the whole business by trimming his body hair as close to the skin as possible before you employ the razor. I suggest using a high-quality barber shears. Choose your razors carefully. Unless you are a real connoisseur and know how to wield a straight razor, stick with safety razors. Since you're going to be doing his whole body, be sure to stock up on a shitload of quality plastic disposable kind. You will find that the blades dull really fast when they are shaving coarse body hair. Dull razors, as everyone knows, will nick and scrape a whole lot more than a sharp razor. You'll want to minimize the number of times you pull the razor across any given patch of skin so as to minimize razor burn. Before you begin, cover the area you are about to shave with a hot, wet towel. It will soften the hair and make it easier to remove. Use lots of shaving gel. Gel is way better than shaving cream for sensitive skin. Always shave with the growth of the hair, not against it. Be sure to have a septic pencil or gel handy to stop bleeding when you nick the little monkey. And depending on how fastidious you are, keep a pair of tweezers handy for yanking out the stray hairs you and your razors miss. This will give your sub something to remember. No matter how careful you are, there will always be microscopic nicks and cuts afterwards. Left untreated, this can leave the skin open to nasty infections. To prevent this, apply a liberal amount of an astringent like witch hazel. Hydrogen peroxide is an excellent and inexpensive alternative. You know those nasty little red bumps that are caused by ingrown hairs? You can cut down on these little buggers by buffing the freshly shaved area with a cosmetic buff pad. Finally, a liberal application of a moisturizer is recommended to cut down on the itching that will inevitably follow. If the sub has never done this before, he will soon find out that he will be plagued by itching as his hair starts to grow in. Too bad for him, huh? As you can see, this is going to be a whole lot of work for you. In fact, I'm exhausted just talking about it. And there's going to be a whole lot of cleanup, too. Lucky for you, you have a freshly shaved sub to do all the work while you relax, kick up your feet, and eat your bonbons. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Finally, we hear from Spencer. He's 37, writes from Ottawa. I am very interested in learning more about prostate massage and milking techniques. Are you familiar with these things? Thank you. Yes, I am very familiar with both prostate massage and the fetish commonly known as milking. But let's begin with prostate massage because it's something every guy can practice and enjoy. I recommend all us menfolk be prostate aware. You know I am a big advocate of frequent prostate self-exam, right? And I figure while you're down there, rooting around in your butthole, checking out for abnormalities, hey, spend a little more time and give yourself a nice massage, why don't you? Fingers work just fine for this, but an insertable vibrator is, well, out of this world. Prostate massage is a wonderful way to expand your self-pleasure repertoire, especially for you guys out there who only know how to yank on your dick for joy. And ladies, prostate massage is a great way to play with your male partners. Perhaps if you signal to your guy that a little butt play can be fun, more straight guys will be less ass-phobic, and the world will be a much better place, don't you know? You can feel your prostate gland by inserting a finger a couple of inches or so into your bum. If you are the least bit aroused, your prostate will feel like a smooth, rounded, flat lump, about the size of a large almond. Just in the back and up from your prostate is a smaller triangle wedge-shaped nodule that is the bottom portion of your somewhat larger seminal vesicles. This is, by the way, where most of your jizz is produced and stored. Underneath the seminal vesicles are the ampules, which are tiny reservoirs for your sperm that will mix with the other fluids produced by the vesicles in your prostate when you come. As you become aroused, ejaculatory fluid and sperm accumulate in these glands, backing up behind valves in the ejaculatory ducts. When the fluid pressure reaches a high enough threshold, the valves open and the urethral bulb fills, triggering the muscle contractions of your ejaculation. This empties the glands and you've just shot your wad. Naturally, if one abstains from ejaculating for a while and prolongs his arousal stage, say, like through edging, more fluids will build up, making for a larger load and a more explosive orgasm. So, with that little anatomy lesson behind us, so to speak, we can get back to prostate massage. Simply insert your well-lubricated middle finger or middle finger and index finger into your butthole and apply a little pressure. Slowly massage your prostate. Doesn't that feel yummy? Some men can come by prostate massage alone. Hell, you may even find that you don't need a stiff dick to enjoy an orgasm and or an ejaculation. Now, to kink things up a little bit, we introduce the fetish called milking. This is mostly a partnered, dom-sub, bondage-discipline sort of deal, but a guy certainly can do this on his own if he'd like. Basically, the object here is to drain and collect the spunk produced. How is it collected? Well, that's up for grabs. You see, there are a zillion variations on the milking theme. Some practitioners deny the donor the pleasure of an orgasm while collecting his jizz. They pack ice around the guy's cock and balls before milking begins. The spooge will flow through the prostate massage and masturbation, but the donor won't be feeling very much. Another interesting twist on milking is to completely restrain and blindfold the donor. This may include a little or a lot of cock and ball torture during the milking sessions. There are even milking machines available, not unlike the contraptions that milk a mother's breast for the medical fetishists among us. There are sadists who revel in denying the donor any sexual release except for his milking sessions. This is where a male chastity belt will come in mighty handy. A guy will still need to have his balls drained, so to speak, every week or so, in order to avoid him losing his joy juice in a wet dream or when he's taking a piss. But with regular prostate milkings, a dude can be deprived of his own orgasmic release for a long time with no harmful effects. Those going for volume rather than frequency practice what is known as cum control. Their objective is to go as long as possible without triggering an orgasm or a wet dream. Since the pressure of fluid buildup increases with each arousal, the urgency to have an ejaculation also increases. To deny himself the release is, for some, exquisitely painful. If you're still looking for more information on all of this, search them internets. For keywords like semen worship, that's S-E-M-E-N, not S-E-A-M-E-N, orgasm control, cum control, milking, edging, chastity, and ball torture. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdickssexadvice.com. Look for the link that reads, Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. Remember that you pay for the minutes, you get to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Sweet, huh? Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my weekly sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I'm doing now. Each podcast has its own posting on my site with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part of this unique opportunity is that once the sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping to disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For more information, contact me at Dr. Dick at drdicksexadvice.com. That's dr_dick at drdicksexadvice.com. And look for my podcasts on iTunes. You will find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.